Let's call this order, meeting to order. And all the, at this time I ask Chris Kendrick, Justice Steve, please an invocation and the pledge. Please rise.
Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We just thank you for all your blessings, and we ask that you just help us make wise decisions tonight for the people of Faulkner County and to honor you in what we do. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you're a veteran, would you please stand? Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your service. Okay. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Here.
Boyer.
Present.
Cates.
Here.
Good.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Houston.
Here.
Kendricks.
Here.
Lahosky.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Pickett.
Here.
Rowland.
Here.
Schock.
Here.
Everybody's here, sir.
Moving on, we need to offer up approval of the journal. Turn to tab one. Place of the meeting, the minutes of the last meeting. What's your pleasure?
Judge, I move that the journal of proceedings be accepted as filed.
Second. Motion been made and second. Any discussion on any of the items printed here? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Aye. Thank you. County officers report. We'll start with the treasurer, Scott Sesson.
Thank you, Judge. If you'll turn with me the summary of statements for foreign court through May 31st. County General Fund 1,000, $3,422,334.53. County Road Fund 2,000, $4,813,577.87. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $3,167,564.82. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,658,766.83. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund 3407, $912,246.79. Flip with me to page 2. And I apologize, it's hard to read because we have 2, 19 and 20 are both blue. But if you can look right there, they almost match each other. Revenues for County General at this point are about $20,000 less than where we were at this time last year. That is very encouraging. We're still struggling a little bit in the 7400 series and the 7600 series. But where we stand right now, through the end of May, I'm very encouraged about where I thought we would be and where we are with County General Revenue. We know we're not through this yet, okay? But as of through May, I feel good about it. Let's flip over to some really good news here. Page 3, this is the sales tax. Sales tax for May was $837. $837,443.43. That's 42% projected. We're on target for the 9.8 as projected as of right now. And that is up 6.34% versus year to year, month to month. I think I emailed everybody before that. I was extremely surprised about this and encouraged about what we were going to see in June, possibly. Maybe it's not going to be as bad as we thought. With these numbers right here, we're up 8.06 for year to date. We can have a couple months of downturn versus year to year and still be in good shape to make projections. Okay? So we feel real good about those numbers. We know this thing's not over yet, but pretty much the overall thought about all the numbers I've looked at so far is nothing surprised me really on the bad side, or should say nothing scared me. And that from all the numbers I'm looking at, we feel good about it. We know we're not out of it, but at this point, we feel good. You can flip to the last page there on the chart of sales tax revenue. And if you look at that, the three-month moving average has dipped down below our one-year moving average pretty heavily. But if you see those bottom points for the last two or three years, those are all May numbers. It's just a cyclical thing. So I'm not too concerned about that. A one-year moving average is still trending upward. I feel pretty good about that. Are there any questions, comments, or concerns? Thank you, Judge.
Scott, I've got a comment. God bless Faulkner County, because it doesn't look that good in a lot of counties.
Yes, sir. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of places, and we're really in a good spot right now. Everything can change tomorrow, but, you know, we're just reporting on what's passed.
Margaret, you have a report?
My report is in the books and was sent out by email.
Okay. All right. Sheriff, you have a report?
Judge, our average headcount here at Unit 1 is 73. Average headcount at Unit 2 is 36. Headcount in our female capacity, or with our females, is 28, and our juveniles is 6. Total numbers of calls that we had to dispatch for the month of May was 2,696. Total numbers to the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office, 2,122. Number of violent crimes and domestics, we had this up at 95. And the number of thefts and criminal mischief is 92. Animal calls, we took 78. All other calls was 1,857. We opened 82 cases. We closed 32. And on our transport total trips, we did 56 trips for a total of 3,776 at the cost. And one other thing I'd like to share, if I could, individually with each quorum court member over the next month before our next quorum court member meeting, I'll be getting, or I'm going to do my best to attempt to give every court member and discuss our jail expansion, the direction that we would like to take, and what our ideas are, so that I can get some personal feedback from each member, as well as hopefully bring it to the court next month as a hope.
Any questions, Sheriff?
Judge?
Yes.
Judge, may I ask the sheriff a question?
Yes.
On behalf of one of the constituents of District 12, which I proudly serve, I notice that you have been running 70 to 80 animal calls per month for this year. Have you written any citations?
I would have to go back and look. I'll have to go look. I'm sure there has been some citations from them.
Perhaps, is that something that could possibly be included in the report? Citations written?
Can absolutely make that happen.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Before we leave the sheriff, I want to commend the sheriff for the focus that he and his staff and department has done during this COVID virus.
Thank you, sir.
With the challenging times, it's unreal. We got a report last night in Benton County. They've got 46 cases of COVID virus in their jail. And they don't have a real plan of action how they're going to deal with it. But they're dealing with it. We're actually trying to support it a little bit. And I was hearing about, and there's probably, I was told today, the subject of several other jails in the state of Arkansas that has some cases. So far, knocking on wood, we don't have a case. measures he's put in place and all that, so far that hadn't been an issue. We've been having to deal with it. But, all right. Any other county official report? That's the only one I have. This is okay. Let's move on. Standing committee reports. Start with budget and finance, and then personnel, and then court folks.
Judge, the Budget and Finance Committee met before the full court met, and we have two ordinances for the court to consider tonight.
Thanks. Personnel Committee. Steve, you still on?
He is not. He just got kicked off, and he's trying to get back on in here in a little bit.
That'd be fine. I understand that being kicked off part. Infrastructure. Have anything to report? Alright, Courts of Public Safety, Randy.
Ryan, the Courts of Public Safety Committee met last week on June the 9th, but we have no business before the court tonight.
Thank you. Okay. Any old business need to come before the court? Hearing none, I'm going to make a change in our agenda a little bit. Been requested that the, I had it under special reports, but he's got a city council meeting. The rescue squad chief is here, Keith Hillman from Bologna. And Keith has been requested that you give a report to the court of court, so you're on up next. You can come up front or you can stay right there.
Yes, sir. Just a little bit of history with us. I started about 3 years ago. What the Partner County Emergency Squad does is we're a specialized rescue team that's built up of different members of fire department and other members of the county. We kind of help out where the other fire departments are not able to do, like water rescue, any high angle, low angle rope rescue type stuff, extrication, whether water rescue, whether it be with a boat or with ropes or whatever, that's kind of what our major job is in the county.
You've been doing it for 3 years?
Yes, sir.
And you were president of the chief?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm the commander. Yes.
How many dependable members do you have?
We have about 30 people that are on average responding. Quite a bit. On average, we average about 70 to 80 calls a year. This year, we've been kind of up this year. We're right at 40 already, and that was through yesterday. We do a lot of water rescue on the Catron. A lot of, if there's a missing kid, a lot of times we get called out to go help with that as well. So that's what most of our calls have been so far this year. Water rescues on the Catron, kids that are missing, or elderly people that are missing.
Yep. Anybody have any questions?
Tyler? I have a question, Judge. I know a lot of the reason why you've been asked to come is because of the legislative audit report that came out a month or two ago, whenever it was, and it highlighted the fact that there were some issues at the emergency squad with spending and stuff like that. So I want to preempt that with the fact that I know you were not the commander at the time that happened. You were, in fact, the one that recognized the misspending and whatever was going on there and brought it forth into the light to say, hey, something's up. We need to look at this, which turned around and resulted in the report in legislative audit. I was wondering if you could just tell us about where the emergency squad gets your revenue funds from, and then like how did that work with the what was in the legislative audit report on inappropriate spending or something like that.
Okay, so our funding comes from a voluntary sales tax that's on the property tax every year. Depending on what the property tax is how much you pay. I think it's on the average of $5 to $6 a person if you volunteer pay it. I don't remember exactly our annual budget that we normally have. But as far as I know, through the legislative audit, it's everything that has been in the past been taken care of. They found nothing or didn't find very much at all, to my knowledge, but everything that has happened is not going to happen again.
As far as you know, the wasn't a big loss to the county or dollars and cents of the county, misplacement of equipment and things like
that. All the equipment that we're aware of has been located and has been returned, to the best of our knowledge.
Mr. Hillman, how much was the monetary value on that equipment that was misused or misplaced? Do you have that on the top of your head?
I do not know that off the top of my head. I can get that. I have the paperwork on that sealed.
Okay. One of the things that stood out in the management letter from the audit report to me that said that unusable equipment it said that it had been returned, which implied to me that it had been bought and we could never use it. So have we corrected the issue? Can you explain the buying process? Like, who approves the purchases? Who all is allowed to purchase?
Yes, sir. In the past, there was a list of people through the federal. The main thing that he's referring to is there was a list of items that were bought through the federal surplus, and there were several people's names that was on those forms. Those people are no longer on there. So the only people that can buy are the present. There's three members now that are on that list. So nobody can purchase anything now unless it comes through us three. Or it one of us three has to be there to purchase it.
Okay.
All that stuff that was bought presently, or before me, I'm sorry, has been returned, or if we still have it and are using it.
Okay. Do those purchase requests, do they have to be approved by the sheriff or the judge, or is it just internal within your department?
It is internal with our department.
I appreciate you being here. You said you didn't exactly know how much property we were talking about. Was there any one item that was more than $1,000?
There were several, yes, sir. I don't remember. There was generators and trucks and other vehicles that were purchased.
So if an item was more than $1,000, that would be a felony theft?
Well, let me clear it a little bit. It wasn't an item that bought it and disposed of it. The items were located not on our premises. The items were on the private property when we got into it, and each one discovered all of them.
Okay.
The items were not bought and disposed of. The items were bought and placed in another location instead of at the county rescue squad.
Okay.
And when the audit was done, those items wasn't there. So that's what got into the detail. The items, most of them probably at some point in time fit in the game plan, but they just didn't, especially the generators. I'm going more with the generators.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But they weren't on our thing. They got delivered back to our spot. He went through all the stuff, and anything that he felt like wasn't needed, he returned back to our emergency services.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
That is absolutely correct, sir.
And the sheriff was involved, helping. Other questions of
Mr. Hillman, was the only member that was removed was the commander?
There was, there was another gentleman that was supposed to be our mechanic, I guess, that he worked on the helicopter, and he was removed. Maybe a couple of other ex-members that were no longer on emergency squad anymore.
To be clear, we've got a helicopter. It's not in our shop. And the fellows that know how to fly it said they wouldn't fly it. So if you know anybody, we'd like to donate that helicopter to somebody.
Were all those that were on the list to approve, were they removed? Were they internal to emergency squad and were they removed?
The, They were internal at the time that they were placed on that list, I believe. Yes, sir.
It definitely makes me feel better hearing from you, you know, knowing the one that you brought this to light, and that we do have it corrected, because that's one of the things that concerned me when I started hearing about this, is we need to make sure that this is thoroughly corrected before we appropriate any more money to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Definitely.
Thank you, sir.
We don't appropriate money for that. Isn't it voluntary? There's no money appropriation from the roads.
Yes, there is still appropriation. You'll still,
yes, sir.
Yes. No, any revenue that comes into the county has to be appropriated.
But,
whether it's just like if it's the museum or animal welfare and control, all of those are voluntary funds but still have to be appropriated to the corn corp.
But is the voluntary tax specific? Is it specific for?
There is a voluntary tax for
County
Rescue, I believe is what it is. It's a 3400 series. I don't have it here in front of me, but museum, animal welfare and control, soil conservation, now extension, and emergency squad.
May I, Judge?
Yes.
I'm trying to understand basically what you've said as far as making some changes, but all I've heard is that you changed the names.
Correct.
I haven't heard process change that says there's a checks and balance to keep us from doing this in the future.
So every year, for instance, with the federal surplus makes you sign a new contract every year and tells you, you know, who's specifically on that contract. Nobody, if your name is not on that contract, you cannot go up there and purchase anything.
But that's essentially what we have before.
Correct.
All we've done is change the name, guys. That's all we've done. I'm looking for something where the process changed, where in the case of like the library board, the quorum court's presented the quorum court if they need to spend monies. Knowing they're going to spend them, it's presented. And I'm wondering if we shouldn't be looking more in detail there to say if it's an expenditure over a certain number of dollars, it needs to go before the judge or it needs to go before budget finance or something for approvals.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
Structurally,
well, you pay the checks. Excuse me, you pay the checks, don't you?
The claims come in through Margaret's office, through the clerk's
well,
office.
Us three
right.
Monitor as well.
Right, so it, just like any other claim, it does not claim any different than any other claim. Whatever department issues the claim, it goes to the judge's office for approval. Margaret then makes sure that the appropriation is there and creates the claim, and then my office makes sure the funds are available and then processes the check.
Along those lines of what you're talking about, Scott, with your checks and balances system that the county has in the purchasing of things, I'm just going to throw an example out there. I've heard back years ago that why does the emergency squad own the concrete mixer? I don't know whether it owned the concrete mixer or not, but in that process, does anyone in the process ever question the validity of a purchase by an agency? Does that make sense?
That's subject to if you need to make the question.
I think that's probably more on the legal side. Philip, do you want to fill that in? I'm not going to say what each department is obligated to do or not. In my opinion, like I said, it goes to the judge's office. They look at the validity of it. Margaret's office at that point goes and says, is there money appropriated to spend? And then once it gets to my office, the funds have to be there and able to spend it. So
you're looking more at the funds, not necessarily the line item itself.
Absolutely. I'm not checking should you be buying paper clips or not.
Yeah.
I'll comment a little bit on that. We had a purchase of a new system on how we are paged out, called the dispatch. It was a $1,200 a year purchase, and when I sent it in for payment, Ashley West, I believe, called me and wanted to know exactly what it was. And she got with the judge, and then the judge called me and wanted to know exactly what this was to make sure that all this was on the up and up, so, which I appreciate. That's really good.
So then there is a check and balance there in that?
There wasn't that one.
In that instance.
What I remember the most, and I'll just well say it, we bought batteries for a dang helicopter that wouldn't fly. I proved. I didn't know when I proved it wouldn't fly. But approve the budget.
That helicopter's been a money dip since
inception. You like to have it. It's got a license plate on it.
My wife bought my dog.
We're looking for somebody that needs a helicopter. So. Any other questions, Keith? Keith Holmes Committee, you want to write all the lights, you're committed to professional handling it and all that, and I commend you for it.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. Yes, thanks, I wanted to move you up.
All right. Thank you for doing that.
Okay. Now the new business, as far as I know, turn to tab 3, proposed ordinance 20-13. What is your pleasure?
Judge, I move that ordinance 20-13 be put on the table for consideration by the full court.
Second. Motion been made and seconded for this consideration. Counselor, would you read the ordinance? You moved for approval, didn't you? I mean, not consideration. You moved for approval. Is that right, John?
Yes.
Okay. Counselor,
ordinance 20-13, be it enacted by the Quorum Court of the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 19-48, December 17, 2019. Section 1, $267.95 is anticipated projected in the County General Fund 1000, Revenue Series Code 8762. $267.95 is appropriated from County General Fund 1000 to Department 0416, Prosecuting Attorney, Expenditure Code 2001, General Supplies. Section 2, $4,007.31 is anticipated projected to Drug Control Fund, Prosecuting Attorney, 3044, Revenue Series Code 7105. $4,007.31 is appropriated from Drug Control Fund, Prosecuting Attorney 3044, to Department 0416, Drug Control Prosecuting Attorney, Expenditure Code 4004, Machinery and Equipment, approved by the Quorum Court on June 16, 2020.
Heard it. 20-13 read. Floor is open for any discussion on this ordinance.
Judge, I have a question.
Yes.
On section 2, do we happen to know what machinery and equipment they're going to be getting with that four grand? Do we happen to know?
Machinery and equipment.
For section 2.
I do not know.
Justice Kendrick.
Yes, sir.
They're just looking to put that in that line item. I don't know that it. I don't know what they've returned something probably or gotten a rebate on something. That they spin it out of that line item, and typically they just put it back into the line item which they spin it out of. I'm not here to speak for them, but that's typical.
Okay, very good.
Other discussion on this ordinance? Hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahusky.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Ordinance 20-13 does pass. Please turn with me to tab 4. What is your pleasure?
Judge, I move that ordinance 20-14 be considered by the full court and it read by title only.
Second.
Motion been made and second.
Can I make a point of discussion if that's available at this point in time? As far as the reading of the ordinance goes?
Well, sure. Go ahead. It's not probably in order, but go ahead.
Different than what we have in front of us.
know nothing about what he's talking about. So, Captain.
Well, if you need a second, I second.
Yep.
Yeah, second. Mm-hmm. Amendment is second. All in favor of the amendment saying aye?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Likewise. Counselor, read both languages or one.
I'll read the amended language deals with the Scrivener's error. And that's so this is Ordinance 20-14, be it enacted by the Quorum Court of the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 19-48, December 17, 2019. Section 1, $260,000 is appropriated from the following funds to the following departments and expenditure codes as follows. Then proceeds with a table. It says approved by the Quorum Court.
So we're missing two words, Counselor, 2D.
Margaret, is that correct?
You were missing from the following funds to the following departments. So to the following departments was, I think, what I changed. Because it didn't make any sense the way it was to start with. This was missing language.
You've heard the ordinance read. Now the floor is open for discussion. The amendment.
Is there a motion to accept the amendment?
Yes, there was a motion to accept the amendment.
Voted on?
Yes. You didn't vote?
Not after she read it.
No, I mean, we did it before they read it. The amendment. Yeah. The floor is now open for discussion on this ordinance as amended. And any discussion? Just $260,000.
Go ahead.
Judge, I'd like to just ask if Mr. Anderson can just give us an overview of this. And I know you do the health insurance. So.
This is a result of less than anticipated carryover. And to be able to appropriate the amount that we estimate for this year, these changes have to be made. So it's taken carryover from some of these funds and appropriate it throughout the whole entire county budget into health insurance. Is that accurate, Morgan? Is that the way you set it up? That's the way I understood.
Yes, that's the way I understood it from what I was asked.
Judge, if I may.
Yes.
Excuse me. What is the state of our balance of county general?
Thank you for asking that question. I believe about 120 of this comes out of county general. Is that what our math was? If y'all remember at the end of the year when we were talking about carryover and carryover balances, and I've said every time that we've met, I've said, hey, we did really great in county general, but we fell short in health insurance, and it was coming that we needed to fund health insurance because our carryover did not match what we'd anticipated. At the time, I was projecting the full 270 coming out of county general, but it didn't quite work out that way to where some of these other funds are having to pick up a little bit of the slack too, because just how many employees they have. Essentially, it's adding an additional $778.44 per employee. And if you'll look there, you can do the math of how many employees in each department. This is something that we have anticipated, and we've been anticipating it since the first of the year. So it wasn't as big a hit on County General as the first anticipated, but it is still a hit, and we've taken that into effect.
So not all 260 of that came out of that 610?
No, and you can do the math there. As you look down, all the way to Department 0433 is all that comes out of County General. And then from then on, it comes out of other departments and other funds.
Okay. So that is new compared to what we talked about.
Yeah, it is different because I didn't, well, thanks to Tom, he reminded me that not all of it come out of County General. And I said, yeah, let me go back and make sure that math is right. So
originally I thought we were going to have about 350,000 left after this. So we actually have considerably
yes,
more than that.
Yes.
Now.
Okay. I believe, well, if you'll flip back with me to tab 2, and if you look at the second column there, very end, amount not appropriating County General, $610,603.20. We'll take whatever. And like, I apologize for not having that math here for County General, what's going to be appropriated, but I believe it's in the neighborhood of about 120,000.
Okay.
Now, one thing to remember, of that 610, that's still with us being at 10% holdback. First year we've been at 10% holdback. Yeah, so if you want to go back to 12% holdback, that's going to cut into that number as well. Does that make sense to everybody? What?
So just to paint the picture full, the health insurance matching is what the county pays for each employee's health insurance coverage, which currently a single employee on their own pays nothing and the county picks up the entirety. Is that correct? Families are different.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And then this health insurance matching is kind of like an escrow account on your house. It changes from year to year based off of how much people put in and how much they go to the doctor and how much gets paid out. So what the Corbin Court kind of puts into it year to year changes slightly. Is that right?
We budget every year based on what we anticipate our cost for the following year will be. And part of that budget includes the anticipated carryover from the previous year. And so we adjust the numbers depending on what we think is going to cost and what the carryover really doesn't matter. It's basically what we think it's going to cost, and then we'll have to ask for money depending on the carryover.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Judge Baker?
Yes, sir. You're recognized.
I'd like to encourage Justice Pickett and the finance team to take a look at that 12% buffer that we usually keep, and if the opportunity is there for us to go back to 12%, I would certainly support that.
Good recommendation. You don't need a second that, just a recommendation.
Judge, if I may.
Yes.
I want to expand on Justice Higgins there. At this point, with the way things are right now, I would say let's hold everything we got until we absolutely need something. We don't know how this revenue is going to come in. You need your 12%, but you may need up to 15%. We don't know. I want to be encouraging to say the numbers are what they are, but I also want to be cautious and say what they will be. Having that extra money is great. It's absolutely 100% great. But I'm very cautious on, personally, and it's your decision no matter what, but on just appropriating new funds to appropriate new funds. Thank you.
To that, if I can, to Justice Dick,
yes.
To Scott, I wholeheartedly agree, but I do think that the Budget Finance Committee and the court in and of itself has been pretty frugal here recently. So, I mean, I know personally I'm motivated to keep that mindset moving forward. I'm sure everybody else is. You know, we're in unprecedented times, but I do think the track record here recently speaks for itself, so I would expect that we keep moving forward as we have.
Your suggestion to review it is well taken, and we will do the reviewing, but not going into it with a predetermined decision that we're going to do it. Is that all right? Everybody move on. Thanks, Randy.
Yes, sir.
Please. Okay. Madam Secretary, hearing no other discussion on this, or is there other discussion? Excuse me. Any other discussion on this ordinance? Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Ordinance 20-14 does pass. Moving on, turn with me to tab 5. Opposed ordinance is 20-15. What is your pleasure?
Your Honor,
yes.
Ordinance 20-15
replacement ordinance for ordinance 15-18. This was passed by the personnel committee, and with guidance from our counselor, we present this to the court for discussion.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you. Okay, the floor is open for
you.
We got a motion. We got to go forward.
Yeah, I make a motion that we discuss and then vote on ordinance 20-15.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion been seconded. Steve, you want to limit your motion to reading it all, or title, or what?
Yes, sir, Your Honor. We could read it by title only. That'd be fine.
Counselor, read the
ordinance 20-15 being enacted by the Forum Court of the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled to amend ordinance 15-18, which established the position of the Faulkner County Election Coordinator and for other purposes.
You heard the ordinance read. It's before you. The floor is open now for discussion.
Judge, can we have the counselor just read the changes on the new ordinance compared to the old one?
You sure can.
Margaret, I'm going to lean a little bit on you. In regards to definitions, the first change, I believe we made a change, or there was a change made in regards to...
The logic and accuracy testing, I pulled that out of the new machines. The wording now, the statute for that.
So one is logic and accuracy testing, I believe, was added, and that was using the statutory language. Did we have any other, was there another definition, Margaret, that you can remember?
On down in the language, it refers to, what's the term it was referring to?
PEB.
Personalized electronic ballots, and they're still personalized. It's just that our old machines, they were called PEBs, and they operated different, but it's that term still kind of qualifies for what we're doing now, so we just chose to leave that alone.
And then there were two, what I would call substantive changes made. The first, Section 2B, the new language reads, the election coordinator shall perform all duties assigned by the county judge. The county judge may delegate the supervision of the election coordinator by a court order. The second substantive change would be in Section 4. The county judge shall have the ability to hire and or fire the election coordinator. Previously, Section 4 just said hire, did not say the words fire. And in regards to Section 2B, the previous ordinance established a priority order, and so that was removed.
Yes, that.
Yes.
Other discussion.
Judge.
Yes.
I have a question for the counselor.
I'm asking.
Mr. Counselor, can you, if you took part in writing this ordinance, can you speak to the reasoning for the emergency clause to be in this amendment of an ordinance?
So. In regards to the emergency clause, part of the issue is timing. That if there were not to be an emergency clause, you'd have to have three readings. And so we're talking about June, July, and August as far as the readings go. Although the election is in November, the job of the election coordinator is very active right now. And so not only is the job active, but there's also an underlying issue in regards to COVID and the management of employees that's also part of that equation. And so an emergency clause is necessary in order to enact the changes immediately and to make sure everybody's on the same page in preparation for that November election. And certainly I think we can all understand that perhaps a third issue that COVID creates is more uncertainty for our elections and how they're going to look in November. Are we going to need more absentee ballots? Of course, that's on Margaret's side of the aisle. But how do we go about changing the poles to make sure that they are safe and all the things that are enacted in that? And much of that is on the election commission side of it. So even though the election, the general election, is still several months away, the decision and how to manage the coordinator is something that's urgent.
So does this what we're passing today fundamentally change how the election coordinator does their work, how they go about producing the work that needs to be done for an election to happen?
That's a fair question, and my opinion is no. It does not change the duties of the election coordinator. It simply, if anything, changes who they answer to, which office can she use, and who gets to decide which office she can use, the issues of the day-to-day management.
Okay. So for me, I guess my biggest issue is that we're amending an ordinance that already exists. What we're changing doesn't change a whole lot fundamentally of the duties that are done by the election coordinator. It's an amendment on the management or supervisory structure, I guess, of that. So I guess I'll just say I personally don't agree with the fact that there's an emergency clause in there. I understand the timing of elections and everything, but the person is still there, the person is still doing their job. And there's been quite a bit of discussion and debate over this. That's why I'm hesitant for an emergency clause. We don't have to talk about that. I guess I'm just throwing that out there. My other point was what Justice Good said at the beginning, is this is an ordinance to replace ordinance 15-18. And I would ask you, like, would it be appropriate to put that language in the title instead of amend? Because it drives me a little crazy to say that it amends, but then it just lists out the whole ordinance and it doesn't necessarily say, well, we're amending this and we're changing this to that, we're doing that. If we're just straight up replacing it, can we say, is that appropriate to say replace instead of amend?
I think amend or replace would be appropriate. But if you would like to make that motion, that's up to you to amend it.
All right. I will motion to change the wording of the title from to amend Ordinance 15-18 to replace Ordinance
15-18. I second that. We have an amendment on the floor. Next discussion will be on the amendment. Mr. Chairman, Steve Good, you want to speak to the amendment on the floor to clarify this ordinance more to instead of amending the ordinance to
replace. Your Honor, I had no preference on the amendment. If Justice Lahofsky thinks that that's necessary, I could be in favor of that.
Okay. Any other discussion on the amendment? All in favor of the amendment to the thing, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion does carry. It will read to replace Ordinance 15-18. And we'll move on discussion now back to the original ordinance.
Your Honor?
Yes.
If I may.
Yes.
I'm not 100% comfortable, guys, with this body looking at roles and responsibilities of employees, regardless of whether they're voted in or they're hired and fired by the judge. And I don't think we need to be addressing that in this group. And if there's an issue as far as because it's territorial and it's roles and responsibilities, and if we can't come to a consensus here, I think we need to push this up to a higher authority and let somebody else look at this.
I think in answer to a little of that was that the original ordinance was to create a new position in the county. The purpose for the new position. And then that's what this ordinance
right. And that was why. But now we're talking role and responsibility.
That's right.
That's the original ordinance.
And to that point, I think I can agree with you. And in fact, I don't mean to cast any necessarily bad opinions about my predecessor, but if I were here in 2000, and 15, I would have said, don't enact this ordinance because you are trying to determine by through the quorum court duties of a county employee. And so that's part of the reason we need to clean up. Either one, get rid of the ordinance altogether, or let's make it such that it's lawful and make sure that the county judge has the ability to make the delegation and have the authority that he's granted by law.
Other discussion? Anybody else who's on the personnel committee want to chime in? I guess I'm what I think I'd chime in. You didn't make the motion.
No, sir.
Okay.
I just said
you discussed it. I think you discussed it. That's why I went on. Hearing none. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
No.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
No.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Okay. Ordinance 20-15 does pass. Moving on. Again, special reports, but anybody have a special report at this time? Okay, we need to go to number 11. Appointments. I have appointed Stan Stapleton and Carl McGee to two vacancies on the South Hillo Fire District Board. There was five applicants, and I selected that. I need that for your confirmation.
I need a motion. I make a motion that we appoint the two recommended.
Second.
Motion been made and second. Confirm those two appointments. Both of them are, I speak to one of them for sure, and the member is a lifelong resident, and the other one is probably as qualified as met all the qualifications plus for the claim. That's why two were selected out of the fire. You've heard the motion. Confirming, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition to the motion? It does pass. At this time, I've asked Tom Anderson if he would give us an update on COVID virus in the county.
We've been following the numbers from the health department, and about 12 days ago, we look at active cases, we had six. And yesterday afternoon, it was up to 63. There is also positive cases at the Human Development Center that's not included in this number. They have elected to test all their clients and their employees.
Brian, I think we're going to need him closer to the microphone.
Can you hear this better?
Yes, thank you, Tom.
Yes, sir. We've been following the active cases as presented by the Arkansas Department of Health on the COVID virus in Faulkner County especially. About 12 days ago, the active cases were at 6, and now they're at 63. In addition to that, not included in the 63 are cases, I believe they number 26 as of yesterday at the Human Development Center. They have decided to test all their clients, which are about 500, and their employees, which are about 1,000. They haven't gotten the results of most of those tests. I'm not sure they've even sent all of them off yet. So the numbers in Faulkner County are definitely on the rise.
Pretty good spike. went up every day last week, and over the weekend started jumping.
Do you know how many nursing homes in Butler County?
No, I do not have that figure at all.
No.
I don't know that they've released those figures, but I hadn't seen for just the nursing home.
I think there's that many based on some addresses we get for 911.
We have 3 new cases a day. The total is 66 plus the 26 that we know of. Just came in just a little bit.
And in regards to nursing homes, I think that information is kept on the Arkansas Department of Health website. And as I checked earlier this week, there were none from nursing homes in Faulkner County earlier this week.
We've had a total in this county of 172 cases confirmed. 106, as of this afternoon, have recovered. There has been 3 known cases that has caused death in this county. We had a meeting this morning with all the elected officials in the county elected officials, and we're trying to get a better grip on what we need to be doing, just protecting ourselves. That's the way we met, told these figures, make everybody aware of the situation, and just get a little better grip on what we need to do. I think, in all fairness, a lot of people have let their guard down. And folks, when you talk to somebody that's had it, you don't want it. I'm as scared of it as I am a girl, and I can see a girl. But you can't see this stuff. And it's present, and it's a lot more present than we ever dreamed it would be in Faulkner County. But it's present. And like since Memorial Day, the activity in the state has really skyrocketed too since Memorial Day. But it's a huge concern. I can tell you this: if you want to be tested, or feel the need to be tested, or anything, and go to the health department, they won't ask you a reason for being tested. They'll ask you for an insurance card if you have it. Anything they can file on against the insurance, that will be their cost. They will not ask you for any money. And if you don't have an insurance card, you still can get the test and not pay any money at the health department. They're testing, today they're testing 15. I don't think I have that total of how many they've tested in the county, but that's just the Faulkner County Health Department. The biggest issue that the health department told me this afternoon was people are showing up irate and they're having to deal with it. People are losing their cool, and it'll happen more, I'm afraid. But that's the biggest thing they're dealing with right now, is the irate people. Well, showing up irate, I'll leave it that way. But we're all in this together, and told you earlier about the jail in Benton County. And hopefully there will be something good happens before school starts. Because folks starting school, if school started next 2 or 3 weeks, I doubt that it would start with the cases in Arkansas like they are. I think the governor's done a good job keeping people informed and trying to make the best calls that he can make. And I just think he's done a good job. And our health department and hospitals here in Conway have done a good job trying to take care of people's needs. So that's all I've got on, but it's starting to dominate. This last week, it gets on your mind a whole lot. The census, briefly about the census in our county, we are still leading the state. We have a 66% return. That's number one in the state. Worcester has 72.5. They're leading the county. Bologna is 72.3. Greenbrier is 72.1. And those three cities are in the top 10 in the state of Arkansas. So we've done some good on what we've got done. Now we wouldn't be leading the state, but there's still more work to do. Our goal right now in this county is try to get 75% self-response. If we can get to 75%, we feel like that our census takers and all that can cover the balance. We know the county has had tremendous growth, but if it doesn't show up in the census, it's to no benefit. But I dare say we've had, in the last 10 years, we've had a 25% growth in the county, maybe more. But it's got to get show up in the census here. Every time you get the opportunity to be around folks, whatever, just ask them, have you sent your census in? You know, and some people just, you know, it just got put on the table and got filled out. They mean to do it, they just hadn't done it. But the census is what we'll live off of a lot of in the next 10 years. And I hope to goodness we can get a pretty accurate count. Yes, Jim.
Backtracking just a little bit.
Go ahead.
You asked me about the Fulton County Fair, COVID response. Is there any plans? What's your words? Cross your fingers?
Cross your fingers we can have a fair.
Yep.
Some fairs have already been canceled. Not any I know of in the state. Some states have already started canceling the fair. We just keep our fingers crossed that we can have a Fulton County Fair. For the youth, for the reason for it. Not for the carnies and not for all this other stuff, but at least for the youth. And it might be a year where they consider not having carnivals and stuff of this nature, but still have the youth exhibits and all those exhibits. But who knows? Who knows? Any other comments anybody want to make at this time? Anybody on the... Yeah, I got one. Jerry?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're rapidly approaching the time of the year when we celebrate the birth of our nation, Independence Day, and many cities, including Conway and the city of Wooster, have canceled their activities for July 4th celebrations. However, I'm going to invite you all to the Megalopolis of Wooster this Saturday night. There will be a fireworks display at the city park in Wooster. Not be able to enter it, you'll have to watch it from your vehicle. Now there is sufficient roadage that you can park your vehicle on and get out and see the fireworks display from the city of Wooster. And I will tell you that the city of Wooster, if you've never been to one of our fireworks displays, in addition to our other activities that we have during the day, we won't have this year, the fireworks display is pretty darn good. They put on a pretty good show. So your families will get to see some fireworks. We'll start a little bit early this Saturday, about dark 30. Be out there. Better get out there early. Plenty of parking along Shawbridge Road and Highway 25. And there's a few vacant fields there you could probably pull your vehicle on. So I'm inviting you on behalf of the city of Wooster to come out and at least get to see some fireworks. I'm still a kid at heart. I enjoy seeing those rockets go up in the air. Come on out and watch the fireworks this week. June the 20th, Saturday night, about dark o'clock.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'll try to be there. I like fire.
I do too.
We ain't got no fire band on, so it ought to be good. Anything else? I've got a couple of things still. We'll probably, between now and the next Corn Court Day, we'll probably have a bridge dedication at Woody Hollow Park, and you'll all get notice on it. If you'd like to try to come, we'd appreciate it. And it's going to be a good improvement in that area. And one little thing. We've got the Corps of Engineers helping the Faulkner County Road Department. One judge told me last night he'd been trying to get them to help him for the last 10 years and couldn't even get them off the bed soon. But the Corps is coming in and doing elevation certificates and survey work on Mallettown Road. Joins the two counties. we needed their expertise, and they, Mark Ledbetter was able to get them to come. We don't have to pay Ronnie Hall for engineering work or anything, but we would pay you if we had to. But having the Corps to do this work is a big plus for Faulkner County, and getting them, that's a big plus. I don't have anything else. Yes. Yes.
Since we're talking about infrastructure, I'd like to request that we have an infrastructure committee meeting next month. If you could reach out to the chair and request that, I'd appreciate it.
Justin Knight. Justin, are you still on?
I'm on.
It's been requested to have an infrastructure meeting this next month.
Yes.
Okay, it's been requested. So you get set your time and date whenever. Okay. Scott, you got anything up?
No, sir.
Since you control the money, I thought I'd at least ask.
Well, I don't know how much control I have on it. You know, when things are good, you want to say you control it. When things are bad, you say you have nothing to do with it. But, you know, we're always keeping our eye on things. And I want people to understand that, once again, things are looking good behind us. But with these numbers that are coming out with this COVID stuff, it's got me as nervous as I've been yet. But still looking good. Nothing, you know, I think last month we said we anticipated a shortfall, I believe, of $225,000. I'm not going to step off of that just yet, even though the numbers are good. But that's kind of what we're anticipating right now still.
One thing is that we were managed to carry that $600,000 over from last year that gives us some cushion that we didn't have last fall, that we didn't know we were going to have. And that $600,000 all of a sudden became a cushion for us to address the issues we need to address before we have to get into anything else at this time. Anybody else?
Yes. Is the bridge in Cypress Valley on Stanley Road that you're partnering with the Corps, is it still on?
It's on the list. List pretty long, but it's on the list.
I know where
they are. It's on the list. Sure is. Anybody else? Meeting is adjourned.
Ron, make a motion to adjourn.